Okay, it's time for the second part of It's All About Food here on August 22nd, no, August 27th, 2012. And I'm Karen Hartglass. Thank you for tuning in. And now it's going to get really sweet. But sweet, maybe mixed with a little defiance. How about that? I'm going to bring on Lagusta Yearwood, who is a...
Hello.
Hi, Lagusta. I'm going to read you
Hi,
a little
Karen.
Bio first. How about that?
Oh, go for it.
Okay. It sounds like you are a restless, rabble-rousing chef-turned-chocolatier who's in love with deep flavor, ethical sourcing farmers, the food poor people around the world have always eaten, lactic acid fermentation, and noodles. She lives in a little 1960s sunny ranch house in the tiny farm-focused town of New Paltz, New York, with her sweetheart Jacob and three cats. After years of cooking in dinky rented kitchen, she and Jacob renovated a former laundromat in downtown New Paltz to become a tiny little chocolate shop, Lagusta's Luscious, which you can find out more at lagustasluscious.com, which opened in June of 2011. Now, hello and welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Good, how embarrassing to hear your bio like that, but there it is, all true.
Yes, all true. You know, I told myself before I started the program a half hour ago that I should grab a little chocolate before I started this, and I didn't. And now, now I'm going to be in trouble. Okay, I'm just going to breathe deeply now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so before we talk about chocolate, I want to talk a little bit about when I met you, which was at the book reading for Defiant Daughters in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And I thought that your chapter in the book was my favorite.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much.
And what I liked about it was feisty and kind of positive. And I'm not judging anybody else in this book. We all have our own personal stories, and some of them are quite heartbreaking, and anyone that can rise above anything difficult is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you have a great attitude. And that kind of comes.
Oh, thank you so much. It's easy when you're around a mood enhancer like chocolate all the time.
Well, I don't know. I know that chocolate does not work long term for some people. Work short term.
Yeah.
Yes.
And sometimes I definitely get stomach aches. That's for sure.
Yes. So I just wanted to mention Defiant Daughters. It's by one of my favorite publishers, Lantern Books. We talked to Carol Adams and Jasmine Singer when the book came out, and now I've got you on. And it's a great book.
Well, what great company. I'm so honored. Wow.
Wow. Okay. Now, let's move on to chocolate.
Okay.
Why chocolate?
Well, let's see. I started out doing more savory cooking about, I guess, 13 years ago or so is when I graduated from culinary school. And I just gradually started making truffles one year, my partner and I, just for our friends for the holidays. And I don't know, friends of ours really love them, and we just started doing them more and more. And then before I knew it, I had two full-time jobs. One had a little mailing list, and I would ship out chocolates every month. And then the other one was I was running a vegan meal delivery service, cooking kind of wholesome, delicious meals with farmers market produce for New York City customers. So I had to pick one job, and I picked the one that involved more chocolate. So, yeah, here we are. I think also for me as a vegetarian and as a vegan, I'm really fascinated by chocolate because it is so rich and so decadent, and I feel like people really have this perception of veganism as very dry and depriving yourself of something. And it was really important for me to show people that you can have this very luxurious food that is completely cruelty-free.
Now, your products are more than just cruelty-free, which is a huge mouthful to begin with because there's so many chocolates out there that are not cruelty-free, containing dairy primarily, which is a big, bad thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're more than that. Your products are fair trade and organic, and very often you include ingredients that are locally sourced.
Yeah, and actually, as we speak, smoking some shiitakes in my smoker for this chocolate that we make that's kind of like a bacon bar. We call it the takeout bar. And it has smoked shiitake mushrooms and a caramel sauce and chocolate, and it's very savory and umami rich. And yeah, so, and those are actually local shiitake mushrooms. I started out life, I figured I would be an animal rights activist. And then that world was hurting my heart too much. So it's just too serious and sad, and so many horrific stories happening all the time. So I kind of wanted to do something more pleasurable, so I got into the cooking world. And I think because I started out with that ethics at the forefront instead of starting out wanting just to sell chocolate, it's really important to us that we, you know, always use fair trade chocolate because of the human rights issues involved with a cacao bean trade, and always use organic chocolate because, you know, starting out as an environmentalist person who's concerned with the environment and animals and things like that, it just kind of, it felt like a good way to advance my principles and turn them into a business. So I feel so lucky that I've been able to do that.
Well, you're doing a wonderful thing, because not only are you making chocolate, which most people love chocolate, but you're sourcing it with some really excellent ingredients, and your products are beautiful. I'm on your website. Everything's gorgeous. So it's, in addition, it's just beautiful art. Lovely.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes,
yeah,
lovely.
it's really fun for us to kind of, you know, we have a bunch of people working at the shop, and it's just amazing to see, because we're in a college town, we have a lot of college kids who work here, and well, actually most of them have graduated by now, but yeah, you know, to teach people how to make these beautiful products, and to see them grow and create, put in their own input into the products, and learn, you know, cocoa butter painting and dipping truffles and things, and just, it's so really great to teach people, I don't know, how to make beautiful things.
Yeah, so there are a lot of things I'm thinking of here. I'm not quite sure how to get it all out, but let's see what happens. So there's a lot of things going on with the food system and sustainable food and food for the poor.
Yeah,
there's so many different,
absolutely,
so many different issues. And unfortunately, so many Americans today don't really know what they're eating. They don't care what they're eating. They just want,
yeah,
a lot of it, and they want it for cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. I think that one thing I've actually been amazed at with our chocolates is, you know, because they are organic and fair trade, our raw chocolate just costs more, and sometimes it costs a lot more than, obviously, than Hershey's or a giant corporation like that. But what I'm really surprised by is, maybe it's because we're in New Paltz, New York, which is a very kind of middle-class, farm-friendly town, but people really seem to have a literal hunger for more authentic products that cost a real cost that people are willing to pay for. And especially with our chocolates, they're so rich and intense that you don't need a huge bar at one sitting. You know, just, we have customers who come in for one truffle a day or one caramel a day, and that's, you know, it's $2, and that's their treat for the day, and then they come back tomorrow. So I think it's nice to be able to show people that there are ways that you can buy something that's sustainable and ethical and still have a treat, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to feel like deprivation or like you're paying so much for it that it's not worth it.
I can't agree more, and I really would like to see a turn in our culture, and I hope it's going that way, where we look for maybe not quantity, but quality,
yeah,
where we source,
yeah,
more in the,
exactly,
United States. Our furniture should be well-made rather than particle-board crap, and
mm-hmm,
with a little artistry in our clothing. Maybe we don't own as many jeans, but the ones that we have are made to last and are made,
yeah,
with quality ingredients and organic cotton, and the people that make it can live on their profits and send their children to school, and I think it would be a more beautiful place.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I'm just seeing the glass, you know, half full, but I do think people are getting so fed up with their badly made jeans and houses and chocolates and everything that it's just really refreshing when you find, I know for me, when I travel to another town, I want to find the little handmade shops where people are actually selling,
mm-hmm,
products from their local area made by local artisans. So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of income inequality issues that we have to address built in there, and not everyone has a privilege to pay $2 for a chocolate, but, you know, it feels good to be doing something to try to address some of these issues.
Absolutely.
Maybe not all of them at once.
I'm glad you're doing it, and I imagine that it hasn't been easy.
Yeah, I think the good thing for us is that I never started out with a really, with any startup money or any capital. I just kind of figured I would do it out of my house, and then it got bigger, and then I rented a kitchen, and then it got bigger, and then we opened a shop. So I think if I had started out thinking, I want to make this business and employ 8 people and do this and this, that it would have been so overwhelming, and I never would have started it. But over the past 10 years, really, I've just built it up really slowly. So that feels good to me, too, because I think in so many, people think that they maybe have a great idea for a product or something, but want to jump in with both feet and build this huge business right away. And I know for me, it just feels better to go slow and not live beyond my means and build something up in a more sustainable way on all levels.
Now, I just noticed on your website that you started a savory dinner series.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
So is that to kind of satisfy the other part of you that likes to cook everything else?
Yeah, exactly. We have a little back room at our shop, and we actually just wrapped up our series for this year because the fall gets so busy with chocolate things. But during the summertime, when there's beautiful produce around, we do one dinner a month. Well, actually, it's 4 nights, 12 people a night, and it's really amazing just to have – I have friends who come to every single one, and we really try to just go crazy and make it really lavish and I don't know, just kind of stretch ourselves with our cooking skills and everything. So it's really fun.
Great. I love to cook, and I love having people over for elaborate dinners where we just invent things.
Yeah,
it's really,
really great.
Yes. Very good. On the subject of chocolate, where do you get your chocolate that you turn into all of these beautiful confections?
Well, we get our just plain chocolate. We don't make the chocolate from scratch because that's a whole other set of, skills.
Yeah.
We get our chocolate from a really nice company called Cho in San Francisco, and they direct source everything from farmers. The lines that we get, the organic and fair trade ones, are all from Peru and Ecuador. So they work directly with the farmers and set up cooperatives, and they have really good transparency about their sourcing methods and everything. So I feel really lucky that I was able to find them because just, sourcing chocolate is a huge minefield of ethical issues. And I'm able to talk directly with their sourcing manager who's always, going down to the farms and working with the farmers and checking everything out. So it's really inspiring what they're doing, bringing this product to the market on a pretty big scale. I mean, they're a small company, but compared with my company, they're giants. So, yeah, it's pretty great.
Well, I don't think big is better, and I really encourage more small businesses or medium-sized businesses because it's manageable from a people standpoint. You're talking to the people that run this business, right? They know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. I know for me, I would never want to have a shop where I wasn't there, or we had 3 or 4 branches and people came in and never saw the people who make the chocolate. For us, it's really nice just to have that connection that if you're asking what ingredients are in something, the person you're talking to made the chocolate and can tell you all about it.
Chocolate is good. All right. So you have a fun website, and I don't know how you have the time to do all that you do, but you also blog.
Yeah, I have a lot of help.
What?
I have a lot of help, thankfully.
Oh, that's good. Help is good.
Yeah.
But you come up with some really interesting combinations that go with chocolate.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know why that is, why we seem to have so many weird combinations. I think that I particularly just get bored with, we definitely have a line of very classic truffles that are, more, not contemporary, but more traditional, I guess I'd say. We have peanut butter cups and peppermint patties and just more kind of, I don't want to say plain, but wonderfully slightly plain things. But then, we kind of do go crazy, especially with local produce. We're always thinking about ways to use different ingredients. Like a farmer friend of ours grew a lot of sorrel this year, which is like a really sour spring green. And he had so much of it, he just gave me like bags and bags of it. So I was trying to think about what I could do with it, and I thought about the idea of making kind of like a natural sour candy. And it took a lot of sizzling around and a lot of working with sorrel, which, as it turns out, when you have a ton of it and you're constantly processing it in a food processor, kind of drives everyone crazy because it's such a sharp flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Like it gets in your eyes and things. So that's something we learned.
But
we finally made this sour sorrel caramel, and it's really amazing. It is like a natural sour caramel, so people are kind of going crazy over it.
Very, very good. I don't imagine you've done any chocolate-covered ants or anything like that.
You know, we have not.
No bugs.
No, we haven't. This year with the cicadas, a lot of people said we should do something like that, but no, pretty much strictly vegan.
Yes.
I was just
joking. But you know, we've heard so many strange things about what people will put in chocolate.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Yes. Sorrel sounds perfectly fine to me, and shiitake mushrooms and anything else you want to put in your chocolate sounds pretty good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I need to send you a box you can try out all of our weird flavors.
Excuse me?
I need to send you a box you can try out all of our weird flavors.
Oh, yes. Weird flavor box.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that's exciting is that you have some white chocolate.
Yeah.
And that's like next to impossible to find in the vegan world.
It is. It's true. Yeah. And we've tasted pretty much probably all of the vegan white chocolates out there. And most are not exactly to my taste. They're a little bit odd tasting, I think, because people try to use a very low-fat milk, like rice milk or something, and it doesn't have that same richness. But we have found a really nice company, another small business that's working with us to make a really great white chocolate with coconut milk that doesn't taste coconutty. It just tastes really, really, you know, rich and wonderful.
Mm.
So, yeah, that is really exciting to me because just having more milk chocolate and white chocolate without dairy is kind of the holy grail, I feel like.
Yeah, and I'm kind of interested to hear about that, because I do use a lot of coconut milk, and I just made, I was mentioning my mom's 80th birthday, which was yesterday, and we celebrated big last weekend, and I made this 7-layer cake with a chocolate ganache and a chocolate buttercream filling, and I use a lot of coconut, and I love the way it tastes, but you still know it's coconut, and sometimes you don't want to have coconut.
Well, I wonder, were you using coconut oil, too, and coconut milk? Or just the coconut milk?
Oh, I used, well, you know, I don't know if you know this, but Let's Do Organic has a creamed coconut.
Yeah.
I used.
No, that might be why, because I feel like sometimes just the coconut milk, or if you use, like, a more refined coconut oil, it doesn't really have such a coconutty flavor. And it's a little bit more refined, but I feel like it's kind of a good trade-off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's true. It's not like you can't really make like a vanilla ice cream with coconut milk because it's going to be coconutty.
Right.
But you can make a really nice coconut ice cream.
Yes, and I love coconut.
I
love coconut.
Oh. Yeah, it's great. I have this theory that dairy has a flavor, but it's just become our kind of baseline vanilla flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So no one really realizes that when you taste other milks, they have a slightly different flavor, but it's not negative. It's just their own flavor, just like cow's milk dairy has a flavor. So I think it's just a matter of, I don't know, like just slightly shifting our taste buds sometimes.
You know, that's such a good point. And I haven't had dairy in almost 26 years. And I still can remember what it tastes like. I can remember.
Yeah.
And it makes me kind of sick thinking about it. But it does have a flavor, and it does impact the chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. I worked at a restaurant once that was vegetarian, and they did very little dairy, but they once made a peach ice cream that there was a vegan version with coconut milk and a non-vegan version with cow's milk, and I accidentally tasted the wrong one.
Oops.
And my first thought was like, what is that flavor? It's such an odd flavor. And then I tasted the vegan one, and I was like, oh, this peach ice cream. It's so funny how, I don't know, your taste buds change so much.
Yeah, well, we can learn to eat anything and like just about anything, and it's a scary thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Now, you've been vegan for a long time, right?
Yeah, I guess about, 16 years or so. Since I was 15.
And was this something you did on your own, or your parents encouraged this? What happened?
No, it was just, I guess I became vegetarian when I was around 12. It's really funny. I have a lot of women friends who became vegetarian when they were 12. I feel like someone needs to write a study or something about this phenomenon.
Yes, I was 15.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. And then I kind of just slowly got more into animal rights just through thinking about where animal products came from and things like that. So when I was 15, I became vegan because I started going to some animal rights meetings, and everyone there was vegan, so I figured probably possible. And my mom actually became vegan with me, and she's still vegan, so it's really wonderful.
That's very wonderful. I like that. Well, here's what I'm putting out to the universe, and I hope that more people with their business want to not just focus on making a big profit, but making a quality ingredient that does some good for the planet and doesn't do anything bad.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's hope.
That's all. I think
it doesn't sound like so much to ask for.
Yeah, I love the vegan community because not everyone, but most, really care about people, care about animals, care about the planet, care about so many different things. And when I read the newspaper, which I only do on the weekends, it just blows me away. How can people be so heartless? I'm singing a song now. How can people be so cruel?
Yeah, it's true. I think it's very easy to have just to close your eyes to the realities of the world, you know, and I feel that way a lot when I think about things. And then I try to think, well, there's all these ingrained systems that are conspiring to keep you from realizing what's really happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it does get pretty discouraging sometimes.
All right, I'm again back to your website, and I'm noticing there are some other products on here that I think are from other people.
Yeah, we have a couple great other products. We have my best friend Marisa, who does all of our baking for the shop. She spent a year developing a macarons recipe, so these French macarons that are totally different from macaroons. There's no coconut. They're really beautiful little delicate cookies with almond flour. And she's amazing. She's going for it.
Yeah, they're beautiful, and they're gluten-free.
Yeah, they are, absolutely.
Which is
awesome.
She's
making a batch right now. I can smell it through the walls as I'm standing outside.
Yeah, I'm looking at them, and they are really, really lovely. So I look forward to bite into one of them one day, yes.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then you also have, I'm just excited about vegan food, so I like talking about all different kinds. What's this tree-lined cashew cheese?
Oh, yeah, it's a really wonderful cheese. It's in so many stores now, but it actually started out being made in our back room at the shop. And then both of our businesses, this friend of mine who runs this cheese business and my business, were growing so much that we realized that we needed all the space that we had, and he realized that he needed a giant factory. So now that's where he's making the cashew cheese. And it's a really great AIDS cashew cheese. There's two varieties. There's a cream cheese that comes in a couple different flavors, and then a hard cheese. I don't think we have the hard cheese on the website right now, but but yeah, they're both really amazing. Just so clean tasting, and it has a real nice, you know, sharp cheesy flavor. So yeah, the world of vegan cheeses is just getting better and better.
Yay!
Yeah,
I like it, and you're
pretty wonderful.
You're a delicious part of that. So thank you, Augusta.
Thank you.
We'll definitely have to try all of these products sometime soon, and I'm going to have to go and get some chocolate now. So thank you for joining me, and all the best with your delicious products. Thank you for making this world a yummy place.
Great. Well, thank you. Thanks for this wonderful show.
Okay.
Okay. All right,
you
have a
take
great
care.
Day.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye. So just a minute or two here. I'm Karen Hardglass. Right. You're listening to It's All About Food. And when you're looking for chocolate, definitely go to Lagusta's Luscious, and you can find her online at lagustaluscious.com. Even if, just look at the pictures. They are so, so beautiful. And you know me, I always like to talk about treats and how treats are things that you don't have every day. They're something special, and they should be made with high-quality ingredients so that they really feel like a celebration. And that's what these foods are, and I wish there were a whole lot more of them. Okay, so I just wanted to let you know next week is going to be spectacular. I am so excited about my guest. I'm going to have David Simon, and he has a new book out called Meatonomics. You have to listen to this. It is going to be an awesome half hour. He has done so much work about the animal food industry and how through all kinds of hidden costs they've burdened us with over $400 billion, and I can't wait to hear from him. And then the second part of the show, Bava Ram is going to be talking about his book Warrior Pose, and I loved reading this book, and towards the end I didn't even know that there was going to be some food references, and when I read them I thought, oh great, I can talk to him on my show, because I always like to tie the food issue into what we're talking about. But he had a broken back, failed surgery. He was running around as a network news war correspondent, and then he had stage 4 cancer and managed to heal himself and find peace. And it's a beautiful, inspiring story, so I really can't wait to talk to him. So join me, please, next week, September 3rd. And for now, go to ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com and the SwingGourmets.com site, where you can see our newest video. Okay, so you've got a lot to do. We'll talk next week. I'm Karen Hartglass, and this has been It's All About Food. Have a delicious week.